I think that's important because we need to keep in mind that eternal life is not simply endless life. I think that was touched on. And it's very important to keep that in mind because angels have endless life. But I cannot say that I see in the Word of God that angels have eternal life. Those who are going into the lake of fire, they're going to have endless life. But I cannot say that they have eternal life. So eternal life does not define the duration of it. But as we have heard, it's the quality of it. It is the very life of God. And I think it's important to highlight what we have heard already. It is God, and you cannot explain God. Man is trying to humanize God. Man is trying to make God in his own image, in the image of man. And you cannot do that. When you start putting your head into this one, you are looking into the ark and you're going to be blind. There is things where we have to take our shoes off our feet and stand 2,000 feet back and say, God is God and man is man. God was pleased to reveal himself, to reveal that life in the Lord Jesus. So what is life? In Genesis chapter 1, and we don't have to go to the scientist, we have God creating, giving life to animals, to plants. But to explain eternal life, when Adam had a life that is different than the life of a tree and the life of an animal. It was a different life. And how is that clear in the book of Genesis? Adam, when he looked around, he looked at all of these wonderful variety of life that God had created, and he was able to name them. But Adam said, looked, and he said, I'm lonely. There is no helpmate. Why? Couldn't he have fellowship with a tree? Couldn't he have fellowship with an animal? He needed to have fellowship or to enjoy the lives that Adam had with a life that is equal to that. So God created Eve for him, so Adam could have that relationship. So life expresses itself in relationship. Life expresses itself in relationship. And that would make it very clear why the Lord Jesus is the eternal Son. Because eternal life enjoyed equally by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There, that love relationship existed before the Lord Jesus came into the earth. He did not become the Son when he took upon himself humanity. He did not become a son. He was always a son. And that life expresses itself in that time. So life expresses itself in relationship. And that's why Adam needed an equal kind of life to have joy, to have that what we have touched on in verse 3 and 4, to have the joy in that relationship. Now you and I, by the grace of God, eternal life was imparted to us. So now I could have that fellowship, that joy that the Father and Son had in eternity. You and I could enjoy that because, if I could say, both the Father and the Son and you and I have the same life. We were given eternal life, the very life of God.
Amen.
Two points I want to make. One is that when we come to think about eternal life, this is how you like it. It was not imparted. Is what we came into.
Yes, yeah. No, thank you. That's correct. Yes.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Eternal life always been.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We came into it in time. This is what is so wonderful. That we have, and we need to go to the other portion. We have eternal life. And this life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Since it is mind-boggling that life that never began to be, I came into it in time. The next expression is that the sinner living eternally in hell. He died eternally. He is existing. But we can't put life to that. He's dying. You know what I'm saying? To put life to that is a paradox. So it is like he just poured it.
It's immortal, but not. There's a beginning, but there's not an end.
Amen.
That's why human language is very feeble to express these things.
That's why I don't think we brought it down.
May I just read two lines written by a Christian lawyer, so maybe Sammy, you can relate to that. That's Brother Schofield. It says, the life of God, which is in the believer, is an unsevered part of the life which eternally was, comma, eternally is, comma, in Christ Jesus. Dash. One life in Him and in the believer. Vine and branches, head and members, and gives several.
Our brother here has a.
Thank you. No, I think just as several times it's been said, quality, not quantity. And I think the Lord Jesus put it best in John 10:10. I am come that they might have life and have it abundantly.
That's good. We have heard great things about this subject. And one would really say, and we'll all agree, that there are certain things we can only make few expressions and we'll leave it there because we cannot enter deeper than that. And we thank God for that. We thank God. Because one cannot explain everything and how God did all this work in us to bring us into eternal life, which I cannot understand and fathom how we, you and I, we became partakers of divine nature. This is all the work of God and we'll leave it with Him. I'd just like to ask a simple question as we move on, because Brian was suggesting to move on. And in verse 4, when the Apostle John is introducing the thought now of fellowship, I want to ask the question, why does he bring the thought of fellowship with us first, and our fellowship is with the Father and the Son? I mean, I would have thought personally that John would say, we brought into the fellowship with the Father and with the Son. But why would he introduce with us first and then define that our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son?
May I just touch on that too? I don't know if I'll fully answer the question, but as far as why, but I think it's very helpful to see that it is what he does. And here's perhaps part of it. I was thinking of this too, that there's a limit to how much we can understand verses 1 and 2, as we've been saying. We want to understand it as much as we can. We shouldn't just pass over it because the expressions may be a little unique or whatever, and we haven't done that this morning. We've been trying to understand it. But then, we might say it's very easy to understand verse 3, that you can have fellowship with us. Here he's writing to, could we say, the ordinary Christian, the man on the street, the Christian in the community, and here the Apostle John is writing from the experienced John the Elder, as he says in his second and third letters, the one who has long experience with the Lord Jesus, who came personally, walked with the Lord Jesus, the one who is, as we would say today, an older brother, who's got all kinds of wisdom and knowledge and experience to share with other Christians. He says, you can have fellowship with us. And that, we might say, is very easy to understand. And so, where there are things that we might have trouble unraveling, we should just look for, at least, if we ever find ourselves in that position reading the scriptures, and this might be a little challenging, that might be a little challenging, we come to the point that is easy to understand, and let's do that. And that is the way to start to enjoy these things. I might say it this way, the way to start to enjoy the eternal life that we are learning about, that is wrapped up, bound up in the Lord Jesus, that He Himself is to have fellowship with other Christians, like we're doing today. You know, it's very easy to be a little disturbed, perhaps, about all the time that families go to conferences. There's lots of other things to be doing on a Saturday. There are lots of other things to be doing besides meeting with other Christians. But this is, we might say, the first way for any believer to start to enjoy what is meant by eternal life, which is to get together with other people who have that same life. Even if we don't understand all that is wrapped up in that phrase, we get together with other people who have eternal life. We have it. We maybe don't understand it all. We don't understand how they have it. But we're together. It's the same way in any ordinary hobby, in the much lower consideration, that anybody who says, well, I'm very interested in such a topic, somebody says, well, there's a group that meets and talks about that hobby or that that historical study or that book discussion group. Well, to show your interest, you get together with other people. If you don't really ever talk about it, you can't really say that you're interested. It's, why would people believe you if you say you're interested and you never really get together with other people who have the same interest? So to really start to appreciate Christian living, we get together with other Christians. And if we're not enjoying our Christianity, if we might say it that way, we might say to ourselves, well, I don't want to go where other Christians are. Why bother doing that? I don't even enjoy, my Christian life is boring. Well, if it is, then this is the place we should be. We should be together with other Christians, and we want to have fellowship with other believers, and that will start, if I may say it this way, that will start to help us appreciate the fellowship we have with God as our Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ as His Son and our Savior.